Today's world is exhibiting a hunger for spiritual things. But what voices are being listened to? As much as the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world is a paramount command of the church, one of our joint missions is also to warn the unsuspecting about counterfeit voices and experiences meant only to capture, deceive, and in the end destroy anyone who listens to them. Today, the interest in spirituality by those around us is amazing, but so is the deception that grows with each coming day. The scriptures teach of a real, live, personal adversary. Satan is our eternal enemy and is intent on trapping each and every person he can. In the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 12, Jesus instructs us how the devil is to be overcome. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Note that in the same passage, Jesus tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That is, his mission is to deter and undermine the mission of the church, both personally and collectively. We, brothers and sisters, are his real targets. But he also invites anyone and everyone to his poisonous party, and one of his primary invitations today is by tweaking and awakening the inherent need that each human has for spiritual things. In their book, The New American Spirituality, George Gallup and Timothy Jones wrote concerning the importance of the inner spiritual life. Gallup and Jones wrote that almost one-third of those surveyed here in the United States define spirituality with no reference to a higher authority. A typical response that spirituality is the essence of the personal being. The Department of Religious Studies, Furness College, Lancaster University in the UK conducted a research survey of contemporary spirituality in the market town of Kendal, England, population 28,000. The Kendal Project, which was concluded in mid-2002, deduced the following. 82% of all the respondents agreed with this statement. Quote, some sort of spirit or life force pervades all that lives. 73% of the people in the Kendal survey agreed that, quote, subtle energy or energy channels exist in the body. Furthermore, 71% rated spirituality between 6 and 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 38% selecting the highest number, that was a 10. There is simply no doubt that people worldwide are becoming spiritual seekers. The problem is that though they may be hooked on spirituality, they are not seeking after Jehovah God. This is Eric Barger, and today on Take a Stand Radio, we continue our series examining the New Age movement, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception.
It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello again, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. This is our fourth installment of the series on the New Age movement, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception. In a moment, I'm going to examine the five central beliefs of the New Age movement. Now, I realize that others may expand on these and refine the list, and I respect that, but we'll stick with just these five principles if you can actually call New Age ideas principles. But I think most of you know what I mean. At any rate, the things I'm going to explore today concerning the New Age are found in a very familiar passage to all of us here in the Bible. If you read the Bible much, you have come across this passage, you've heard it preached, and no, I'm not saying, don't for a moment think that I believe the New Age has its roots in the Bible or finds some sort of validation in what the Scripture says, but the quick reference of the passage, you'll understand exactly that the opposite is taught. Before we get into those five doctrines or beliefs of the New Age movement, let me reset the stage just a little bit. If you haven't been listening to us the last few weeks, in week one, that would have been, of course, a month ago today, in week one of our series, we played an extensive audio clip from my live seminar, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception, which is, by the way, the title of the current series that we're using here on Take a Stand Radio. I gave definitions for what the New Age is, and we discussed the effect it's had on our culture throughout the past five decades. In defining the New Age movement in that first program, I said it was westernized Eastern mysticism and thought, that it's a spiritual experience without the cost of repenting of sin, that humanism plus spiritualism equals the New Age. I said that any system of belief that tells you to look inside of yourself for enlightenment, wisdom, or power is generically the New Age. There are lots of spiritualism out there, but they're not seeking, as I already said, not seeking after God. In week two, I played more of the DVD soundtrack of New Age Truth or Old Age Deception, and I detailed the spread of the New Age in its various forms. We also exposed a few of the popular New Age teachers, such as Anthony Robbins, and some of the practices, such as firewalking, popularized by Anthony Robbins. In week three, I exposed how the lies of the New Age are being promulgated and how they're built on the acceptance and validation of the work of various mediums, trance channelers, and gurus throughout the last five decades. In particular, we looked at Jane Roberts, the channel for the demonic power known as Seth, and the most famous New Age medium, Jay-Z Knight, who gives voice to the entity known as Ramtha. So this brings us to the fourth installment of the series on the New Age movement. Now, if you tuned in late, I want to remind you, this is Eric Barger, and this is Take a Stand Radio. Now, you can follow along, by the way, on our website. We have lots of information dealing with this issue, and of course, many of the side issues, such as the occult and spiritualism. You'll find all kinds of articles, video clips, audio clips, and information on our website, and you can find it all at ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com. When you do visit the website, make sure you register for our free newsletter, and we'll send you a free information pack and also a free CD of one of my messages. We want to offer that to anybody who's not already in our database. You can request our newsletter and our free information pack and CD just by going to ericbarger.com, clicking on the yellow button near the top of the page. It says, if you found us through radio or TV, click here. It's very obvious. So just click right there, and it'll take you to a form to fill out. We'll be glad to send that information to you. And by the way, we will never share your information with anybody else. It'll never be sold or given away, and we wouldn't do that. We don't want like that when somebody does that to us, and so we're not going to do that to somebody else. And by the way, if you don't have internet access, of course, you can request a free information pack and the free CD just by calling us. Call our ministry line at 214-289-5244, 214-289-5244 in the Dallas, Texas area. We answer that phone sometimes. Most of the time it goes to voicemail. Just leave us a message and we'll be glad to call you back. You can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook, and don't forget to check out the radio archives where you can access all the past Take a Stand radio programs. Now, you can also subscribe to our podcast, so each week's Take a Stand radio will be delivered to you. And you can find our RSS feed at our website, so you can go ahead and enter that in any podcast player on your smartphone or any device where you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes, and of course, you can subscribe to us through iTunes as well. Subscribing to the podcast has benefits. Besides the past programming we've done, you can also get all the future programming on Take a Stand Radio, including my coming interview with New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield. We're going to discuss his new book and talk about the New Age movement. Hopefully, that will start in just a couple of weeks. We've already got the interview recorded, but, you know, it takes a while to get all these programs in line, and I'm trying to do these in such a way that it makes sense to me, and hopefully, these programs and the order I'm doing them in will also make sense to you. This is kind of the way I construct my DVDs and my live seminar teaching as well. I travel a couple of hundred days every year across the U.S. and Canada and present seminars in churches and conferences and Christian schools. And one of the messages I present all the time is the message that we're basing this series on, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception. We have a high-quality DVD of that seminar. It's based around the same issues throughout this entire series on the New Age movement. It's only $16 for the DVD. Of course, you can get a CD, an audio CD as well, but $16 for the DVD plus $3 shipping here in the United States. It's more than an hour in length. It has lots of slides, lots of scriptures, lots of documentation to help you be aware of the many inroads that the New Age movement is taking to capture the lives of people around you, maybe even in your own family. It ends with a challenge and a clear call to examine our spiritual life and makes, I think, a really good evangelistic tool as well. You can order safe and secure at our website at ericbarger.com, or, of course, you can call us at 214-289-5244. I want to point out as well that by ordering materials from us, that is a wonderful way for you to support our ministry and help keep our radio program on the air. No one is underwriting this program. We need your help. We need those who believe in this type of ministry to step up and help us, especially during these particularly troubling times. If you're able to help us and help us expand our outreach, we'd like to go to an hour program rather than just the half hour. But we'll let the Lord be the decider on that, and He'll lead us however He wants us to go. Now let's examine the five core or central beliefs of the New Age movement. Earlier I mentioned a well-known passage I'd be talking about from the Bible. As we look at these five core or New Age beliefs, we need to start by an overview of this passage. It's Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So this brings us to the first doctrine or belief system in the New Age movement. This is how the lie was imparted. It's through mediumship. It's now called transchanneling. It's the world of the occult. Now, I should define some of these terms that coincide with this topic, particularly how these terms have been changed in New Age beliefs and New Age philosophy. You know, it's really the old occult practices with a new paint job on them. A seance is now called a channeling session. Mediums are now called channelers. The occult is no longer dark and foreboding. Now it's called the new spirituality. It's now called New Age. And where it all takes place is no longer in an apartment over a metaphysical bookstore in a seedy section of one of our larger cities. In 1986, it made it all the way to the theme of a best-selling book and miniseries by Academy Award-winning actress Shirley MacLaine. Experiencing what is now called altered states of consciousness have always been classically referred to as demon possession or oppression in the past. But the New Age movement has put a new paint job on these old occult beliefs. And let's face it, there in the Garden of Eden, as Satan spoke to Eve, this is Lucifer, of course, in the Old Testament, speaking to Eve. You know, Eve didn't know that snakes weren't supposed to talk, and she carries on this conversation with him. This is the first seance in history. As Lucifer possesses the body of a serpent to speak to Eve, to give her this demonic idea to contradict what the Word of God says, to trick her, basically. And that's exactly what is going on in trans-channeling sessions and in mediumship. We see the very first seance in history back there in Genesis chapter 3, and Satan has not changed his modus operandi since then. He continues to trick humankind the very same way that he did Eve in the garden, by transplanting God's word and getting her to believe something that was obviously opposite of God's word. The second doctrine, if you will, or belief system in the New Age movement is the idea that you're not going to die. Universalism and, of course, reincarnation substitutes for the judgment and a path to enlightenment. This is what so many people are after. Now, one of the wackiest schemes that I've seen as I've done research on this over the last 20 years is something called the Reincarnation Bank. That was actually a chartered bank in Europe. The Reincarnation Bank plays right into the idea of occult mysticism and New Age philosophy that's become so popular over the last few decades. You know, people would make deposits in the Reincarnation Bank, and then supposedly, when they come back in their next life, by going into past life regression, they would be put in a trance state, and they would be able to realize what their PIN number was in this life, so they'd be able then to go and make withdrawals from the Reincarnation Bank from the money they'd saved up during this life. By the way, nobody has made any withdrawals in the Reincarnation Bank, and they've now been shut down. My mother was a strong believer in reincarnation for many years of her life. You know, I was raised going to what I believe was a good Bible-believing Methodist church in West Virginia when I was a child. And I remember going to visit my grandmother and sitting on the stairwell in my grandmother's house, and I was reading one of my mother's Bibles. This, of course, is after I became a Christian and after I had gone into ministry. And I'm reading one of my mother's Bibles, and she had written notes all up and down the margins of the Bibles. And I remember as I was sitting there on the steps, and I was sobbing as I read what my mother had written in the margin of the pages. And I thought how much of the truth my mother understood and what she knew earlier in her life, and how far away she'd gotten from it because she'd become such a staunch believer in reincarnation. Now, she was happy that I got delivered off drugs, and she was happy that my life had gotten changed, and I was no longer in the kind of mess that I was in before. And all that was fine. But, you know, she really didn't want to talk about this with me. Every time I began to speak with her about this, you know, it would end up in some sort of an argument or disagreement. And if you're like me, when you first got saved, you want to talk to everybody and anybody about the Lord Jesus. And I'll admit that I was certainly wildfire way back in the very beginning of those days. And I think we need a little bit more of that kind of wildfire in our lives and our hearts today. But I would call my mother, and we began to talk, and then it would turn, of course, to spiritual things, and I would begin to witness to her, and then she'd hang up on me. And this was a constant stream of this kind of thing going back and forth and back and forth. I'd call her, she'd hang up. I'd call her, she'd hang up, and so on. And finally, one day, in the midst of an argument, and my mom lived about 100 miles from where I was living at the time. So anyway, I wasn't close enough just to drive over there and see her face to face. But once in the midst of a discussion on the telephone, I said, "Mom, I'll never again ask you why you believe in reincarnation if you can just tell me why you believe in it." And what she said back to me was kind of stunning. I've thought about it so many times. She said, "I don't know why I believe in it. I just do." She was, if you'll pardon the expression, betting her eternity on something that she had absolutely no validation of. My mother had gotten involved in a New Age cult called the Unity School of Christianity. Now, I'd come out of New Age philosophies, especially the Eastern mystic stuff that I'd believed in before I became a Christian. And so I had kind of an understanding that Unity used Scripture, used the Bible, talked about Jesus, but believed in reincarnation and taught several things that were so far afield from Orthodox Christianity that you couldn't consider them Christian in any way. Unity was started by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore well over 100 years ago, and that's the belief system, the philosophy my mother was following. Now, the great part of this story is that my mother was delivered to the University of Washington Hospital early one Monday morning back in 1989, in January of that year. The doctors called us. We rushed to the hospital. We found out she had a huge cervical tumor. That tumor had erupted, and the doctor came out and told us she had probably a 1 in 4 chance of pulling through this. My wife and I went into the room. It was a very somber moment. We were very emotional. We took my mother's hand on both sides of the bed and talked with her. And I said, "Mom, we've had so many discussions and disagreements about what you believe and what I believe. But," I said, "you know, this is the time when you need to come back to the roots of what you learned there in St. Paul's Methodist Church in downtown Parkersburg, West Virginia. I knew where you'd been. I talked to my mom about Jennings Fast, who had been the pastor of that church when I was a little boy, and a man that she highly respected. And I said, 'Mom, you know what is right. You know what your Bible says.' And I said, 'Now is the time you need to put your life, your trust, everything that you are into the hands of Jesus.' I said, 'Wouldn't you like to do that right now?' And she acknowledged that she would, and it was finally her time. And I knew that the prayers I'd prayed for so long, where I just asked God to give her a second chance, that it wouldn't be a heart attack or a car wreck or some accident that would take my mother, but that he would give her a second chance. And folks, I want to tell you, that's the way you need to pray for people who you love. That's the way you need to pray for people around you. Pray that God give them a second chance, and keep witnessing and keep believing. Don't give up praying for anybody. If God can save me and then end up saving my mother, he can certainly save anybody you're currently praying for. It is possible, and God does save those who just seem like they're the impossibles who are out there." Well, my mother that morning prayed and received Jesus Christ, with my wife and I holding her hand, and I had the opportunity to lead my own mother to the Lord Jesus. And then She came to live with us, and we had just moved within 10 minutes of the University of Washington Hospital there in the Seattle area, the only hospital in Washington State that could even possibly do anything about the particular cancer she had. And she came and stayed with us and lived in my home, got to know my wife, got to know my daughters, was able to spend time with us, and we were able to disciple and speak with her and pray with her and work through the things in the Bible with her. It was a wonderful experience. I'm so glad we had that time. See, all that began in January of 1989, and in September of that year, God eternally healed her and took her home. So she wasn't healed here in this life, but the most important healing took place as she prayed and received Jesus Christ that morning in that hospital room. And I know for a fact there's a reunion coming for me and my mother. I know there's a reunion coming for me and my grandmother. That's a wonderful thing to know, that no matter what's happened, that God has those who we love in the palm of his hand if they have received Jesus as Savior and as Lord. You know, I'm not sure we're going to make it through all these five belief systems of the New Age today, and I really didn't intend to get into this story about my mother, but I do believe that you need to hear it, that somebody listening right now needed to keep praying and keep fighting for in the Spirit and keep believing for and doing spiritual warfare for one of their lost loved ones. Nobody is outside of the hand of God. Keep trusting, keep believing, keep praying. Don't give up. Hang in there and keep believing God that he'll change somebody's life that you're praying for right now. The third thing that I want to talk about, the third doctrine or belief system in the New Age, is the idea of work salvation. You know, when you think about it, work salvation is part of our fallen human nature. We see so many people who were caught up in and really, really captivated by religion, thinking that if they just are good enough, that somehow God will accept them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me speak to this because I know there are people in good, sound, evangelical, Bible-believing churches that I preach in who are sitting there week in, week out, but in the back of their mind, they think that somehow they have something to do with their salvation. Let me tell you something. I have nothing to do with the salvation of Eric Barger. I'm just agreeing with what God said. I'm just getting on his page. My works cannot save me. You know, I think we need to get the shoe on the right foot here because we don't work to get saved. There's nothing I can do to add to my salvation. I'm either saved or I'm not. And as Dr. Martin used to say, you know, being saved is like being pregnant. There's no such thing as a little bit. You either are or you aren't. And that's really how it is for us and our salvation. So I want you to understand that it is not our works that can save us. I don't work to get saved. I work. I do good works. I spread the gospel. I feed the hungry. I help clothe the naked. I try to be who God has called me to be because I'm saved, not to try to get that way. And I hope, again, that ministers or speaks to somebody who's listening today, because it's not our works that can save us. It is purely, simply, and completely what Jesus Christ accomplished when he went to the cross, shed his blood, and then resurrected from the tomb. It's what he did, and we're just agreeing with and believing in what Jesus did and recognizing that our works cannot help us. Well, a half-hour broadcast certainly goes by quickly. I will be back again next week, and we'll finish the final 2 points of the belief system of the New Age movement. We got 3 of them in today. We'll finish the others next week. But I felt like this broadcast had some really important moving parts in it. To speak about work salvation is something a lot of people need to hear and be warned against. To talk about reincarnation in the world that we live in today with so many people who have bought into that as a belief system. And, of course, I love discussing my mom's salvation and how she came to know the Lord Jesus. But I'll be back again next week, and we'll pick up right where we left off here. Remember, you can go to our website at ericbarger.com, listen to our radio archives, and you can catch up on all the past programming. Of course, we encourage you to do that and sign for our newsletter while you're at the website as well. Check out our DVD on the New Age Movement. You'll see it on our website. And I appreciate you being with me this week, folks. Eric Barger here. I want to tell you this ministry is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries in Rowlett, Texas, and is completely funded by the gifts of our supporters and our friends. Come take a stand with us. Thanks again. God bless you.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
Hello, friends. This is Eric Barger. If you believe that bold, cutting-edge programs are important, then I encourage you to help us with Take a Stand Radio. Besides the many ongoing expenses of ministry, the purchase of radio time is a real step of faith for us, and I'm counting on our CSN listeners to help with the cost of presenting this outreach each week. A great way to support Take a Stand is by ordering the materials offered on the broadcast, such as my DVD teaching, New Age Truth, or Old Age Deception that we featured today. This video will help warn and educate your family and church, and would serve as a great resource to share with anyone who's embraced New Age philosophies. The complete message is also available on audio CD as well. To order your copy or to contribute to Take a Stand, simply visit ericbarger.com or call 214-289-5244. Thanks for letting us hear from you today.